This is WCRB in concert with the Longy School of Music celebrating the Bernstein Centennial. Leonard Bernstein did something completely new in the 20th century. He found ways of bringing together all the various threads of music as he knew them. Classical, jazz, Broadway, and rock and roll, creating large-scale works that caused a sensation. Works like Candide and West Side Story. But while he was a master at these grand gestures, he was also brilliant at writing small-scale pieces that cover universal themes of life and love.
Do you love me?
Question.
What shall we name the baby? Why can't I give up smoking? Why are the nations raging? Am I?
Tonight we'll take you to a special evening at Pickman Hall at the Longy School of Music, a concert entitled A Private Audience, and we'll experience Bernstein at his most intimate and personal.
Why not skip this election? Should I discard my lover? Are all these notes expressing?
Spencer Meyer plays piano pieces written as portraits of Bernstein's most beloved friends, anniversaries, he called them. They'll be introduced by the composer's daughter, Jamie Bernstein. And then arias and barcaroles, a collection of Bernstein's songs exploring themes of love and memory, sung by Sandra Peaks Eddy and David Kravitz, with pianists Wayman Chin and Brian Maul. It's A Private Audience with Leonard Bernstein at the Longy School of Music on WCRB in concert. This Bernstein year has been exciting so far, as WCRB has launched a brand new website, classical.org. It's taking a year-long intensive look at the world of Leonard Bernstein, with music, photographs, and videos, and most of all, with the words of the maestro himself. Some of it gives me chills. And performing organizations are making the most of this opportunity to focus in on the work of a 20th century genius. As one example, the BSO's 2018 Tanglewood season has Celebrating Lenny as its theme. And all the great Boston music schools are taking part. A case in point, this evening, of Leonard Bernstein at the Longy School of Music. It's an event that feels like an intimate evening in somebody's living room. Longy invited Jamie Bernstein, the daughter of Leonard Bernstein and an accomplished writer and broadcaster in her own right, to introduce a set of piano pieces Bernstein wrote as tributes to his friends, some of whose names you might recognize and some of whom you might not. They'll be played by the young American pianist Spencer Meyer, who slowed the tempo of his busy international career to come and play this concert. Here he is with the first of Bernstein's anniversaries, this one entitled For Aaron Copland. We'll hear the voice of Jamie Bernstein in just a moment. This is Spencer Meyer at the Longy School of Music, Bernstein's Anniversaries on WCRB in Concert.
Good evening, and welcome to Longy's celebration of my father, Leonard Bernstein.
Over the course of his life, my father collected many of his late-night piano sketches into groups called anniversaries. That's what we're listening to in the first half of this program. The one you just heard was dedicated to the great American composer Aaron Copland, who was both mentor and colleague, as well as dear friend to Leonard Bernstein. My father was a Harvard senior when he first met Aaron at a dance concert in New York City. It happened to be Aaron's birthday, and the older composer invited his seatmate along to the post-concert birthday party. Lenny was in awe of Copland and proudly told his idol that he often performed the famously difficult Copland piano variations. Aaron asked Lenny to perform them right there at his party. "But I warn you," Lenny said, "whenever I play them, it clears the room at every party." "Not this party," Aaron said, and it was true. A lifelong friendship began that night. They were often in different parts of the world, but they remained in close contact wherever they were to the end of their lives. Copland was but one of many close friends and family members to whom my father dedicated various of his anniversaries. We're going to hear two more in this category. The first is dedicated to his sister Shirley, one of the most important people in Bernstein's life. In the music, you can hear the profound intimacy of their lifelong connection. Also, the music quite accurately reflects Shirley's personality, moody, restless, like shifting weather. And after that one, we'll hear a piece dedicated to Felicia Montealegre, whom he would marry 3 years later, and 1 year after that, she would give birth to yours truly, your narrator. My mother was a lovely, unique woman. Felicia was South American and an actress, which gave her a certain exotic flair. She was very beautiful, very intelligent, and had a wicked sense of humor. I suspect my father married her because he knew she would never bore him, and she never did. There is a lovely serenity and a bit of melancholy in this piece for my mother. They clung to each other for nearly 30 years in spite of all life's troubles and complexities. No matter how mad or violent the world around them could become, they were able to preserve a refuge in each other. The happy, graceful family atmosphere they created comforted them and delighted all those around them. So let's listen now to For My Sister Shirley, followed by For Felicia Montealegre. Thank you. For our next three anniversaries, we'll go back in time to some of the earliest connections in Leonard Bernstein's life. Our first of the three anniversaries that we'll hear now are dedicated to these crucial early relationships. The first one is for Helen Coates. Helen first came into my father's life when he was 14. She was his very first piano teacher. She sensed his genius and seemed to understand him on some very deep level. Helen remained in close contact with her former pupil all during his formative years, eventually becoming his personal secretary in 1944, just around the writing of this anniversary. She was still performing secretarial duties for my father when she died in 1989 at the age of 90. Helen Coates struck most people as a rather prim, old-fashioned lady. She had a snippy, bossy quality and was terribly protective of her boss. She drove a lot of people crazy, but the world owes her an immeasurable debt for having saved and organized every photograph, every program book, every newspaper clipping and scrap of paper pertaining to Leonard Bernstein's life, all of which is now at the Library of Congress. The piece my father dedicated to Helen opens with a sharp cracking chord on the piano, as if Helen herself were saying, "Wake up! Look sharp!" The music that follows is busy and bustling, and indeed, that is just how Helen was. After that, we'll hear a piece dedicated to the memory of Bernstein's college friend, Alfred Eisner. Directly after his graduation in 1939, Al Eisner went out to Hollywood to work as a screenwriter. The affectionate correspondence between these two young men illustrates their friendship. Al began one letter as follows. "Dear Lenny, mon vieux, at long last opportunity offers itself to look up from this verdammter desk and inform the friends of my jeunesse that I am definitely not dead." Incredibly and tragically, only 1 year later, Eisner was dead of a brain tumor at age 23. This was Bernstein's first experience of loss, and it hit him very hard, which you can clearly hear in the music. Next, we'll hear the anniversary dedicated to my father's lifelong friend, Shirley Gabus Rhodes Pearl. Yes, she had a few marriages along the way there, the last of which was to the esteemed composer, George Pearl. Bernstein met Shirley Gabus while he was studying at the Curtis Institute. He was 22. Shirley was barely 16. She was a fine pianist, and it was at the piano, playing duets together, that they became deep, lifelong friends. Their letters demonstrate how close their friendship was. "Dear Gabe, babe," he writes her, "I really need your steadying hand on mine now." It wasn't quite a romance, but it was an intense friendship for sure. In 1944, when Bernstein was 26 and rocketing to fame, and Shirley herself was all of 20, she wrote him a stinging letter. "Your driving ambition to be the most versatile creature on earth will kill any possibility of you becoming a truly great artist in any one of the talents you possess. Is your mission in life to be the greatest of all dilettantes?" Ouch! And this from a 20-year-old. But in a way, her words were prescient. It's true that Leonard Bernstein struggled all his life with the hazards of being too good at too many things, especially to the extent that his conducting career interfered with his composing time. Shirley Gabus's concern was a legitimate one. Shirley, who is 93, sharp as a tack, and a beloved friend of mine, says that she's now a bit chagrined that she wrote her friend such an unkind letter. But I think it's fantastic that she had the guts to challenge her illustrious older friend. The music my father dedicated to her has the same grave, intense quality as did her own stern letter to him. So here we go with anniversaries for Helen Coates, Alfred Eisner, and Shirley Gabus Rhodes Pearl. Thank you.
On WCRB In Concert, we're listening to pianist Spencer Meyer with Anniversaries by Leonard Bernstein. They're introduced from the stage at the Longy School of Music by the composer's daughter, Jamie Bernstein.
Next up, we're going to hear three anniversaries whose melodies ended up recycling into larger pieces. We'll begin with a piece dedicated to my father's lifelong friend, the composer Lucas Foss. Lucas and Lenny were students together at the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia. Those were a pair of dark and lonely years for my father, but Lucas recalled, "He never really struck me as miserable. He had such an expansive, luxurious way of being miserable that it didn't seem so miserable to me ever. I never worried about Lenny." Soon after Curtis, the two young musicians found themselves together again at Tanglewood, and Lenny and Lucas stayed friends for life, as did both of our families to this day. After that, we'll hear an anniversary dedicated to Elizabeth Ehrman. Liz's son, Ken Ehrman, was a roommate of my dad's at Harvard. The piece was a thank you present for the composer's many visits to Ken's family house in California, where I'm sure my father ate all the food in the refrigerator over and over again. It's an irresistibly jaunty little tune, which became one of the highlights of my father's magnificent orchestral piece, Serenade. And then we'll hear a piece that wound up as one of the meditations in my father's theater work, Mass, and which appears here as In Memoriam, Helen Coates, a posthumous gift to that piano teacher who became the guardian at the gates of his entire life. So here are For Lucas Foss, For Elizabeth B. Ehrman, and In Memoriam, Helen Coates.
Thank you.
We're now turning to two anniversaries dedicated to the women in my family, two of them anyway, one to my mother, Felicia, and one to my sister, Nina. First, we'll hear for Felicia on our 28th birthday and her 52nd, all of which means that my parents first met on my mother's birthday in 1946. It was a double birthday party. She shared a February 6th birthday with her piano teacher at the time, the great Chilean pianist Claudio Arrau. And the story goes that my mother sat at my father's feet and fed him shrimp one by one. Well, that's the story. I wasn't there, obviously, so I cannot verify it. Anyway, the music is lovely, wry and tuneful, though it ends rather quizzically, as you'll see. I asked my sister Nina recently what the circumstances were around my father's dedicating his piece to her. She had no idea. In 1986, Nina was out of college, working in New York. She had a nice dog and a wonderful loft downtown. We just couldn't figure out what brought on this dedication, for this might be the darkest of all the anniversaries. Why did my father save all this darkness for his youngest child? My theory is that he was feeling united in spirit with Nina over the loss of Felicia. Our mother died of cancer in 1978, unbearably young, at the age of 56. At the time, Nina, my sister, was barely 15. You can imagine the devastation of our entire family. But perhaps the two who suffered the most were Felicia's husband and their youngest child, Nina. When I listen to this piece, that's what I hear, that pain. Maybe my father had to wait until Nina was older, more safely launched, before he dared to express all that emotion through this bitter, bluesy music. These are the blues, indeed. So here are the two anniversaries, one for my mother and one for my sister. Thank you. So for our final three anniversaries, we're going to offer you some purely great tunes. The first, for Susanna Kyle, is dedicated to the daughter of my father's beloved friend and colleague, Betty Comden. Betty and her collaborator, Adolph Green, worked with my father on several projects, most famously on the book and lyrics for his musicals On the Town and Wonderful Town. They had all become friends way back in the early 1940s when Betty and Adolph had a sketch comedy act called The Reviewers. Sometimes my father played the piano for The Reviewers. From that early time on, these friends never abandoned each other. As they each grew up, married their respective spouses, and had their children, Betty and Adolph and Lenny remained as closely connected as a trio of siblings. The piece for Betty's daughter, Susanna, has a wistful, childlike quality and a kind of hushed stillness, as if the composer were dreaming of a return to a state of being that he perhaps never actually experienced. And after that, we'll hear a charming piece dedicated to Jessica Fleischman, the daughter of Ernest Fleischman, the former general manager of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And when you hear this anniversary, make sure you catch the adorable finger snaps. And after that, finally, we will hear my father's anniversary for the great Broadway composer and lyricist, Stephen Sondheim. It's a lovely melody, which found its way into my father's 1983 opera, A Quiet Place. Sondheim and my father collaborated on many projects, most famously West Side Story, for which Sondheim wrote the lyrics. He was considerably younger than my father, but they collaborated and competed as equals, both in notes and in words. Like my father, Sondheim was a word fanatic. They each raced through the tricky British crossword puzzles to see who could finish first. They played after-dinner word games in the living room with a rabid fervor that reduced friends and family members to tears. When it came to music, my father wanted to be considered the older and wiser of the two. So I can imagine him dedicating this beautiful little melody to his friend Steve and thinking to himself, "See, this is how you write a tune." To conclude our first half of the concert, here are for Susanna Kyle, for Jessica Fleischman, and for Stephen Sondheim. Enjoy. Thank you.
In Concert from Pickman Hall at the Longy School of Music, Anniversaries by Leonard Bernstein. Played by pianist Spencer Meyer, with introductions by the composer's daughter, the broadcaster and writer Jamie Bernstein. Anniversaries is the name Leonard Bernstein gave to the miniature piano pieces he wrote throughout his career and dedicated to his friends and colleagues. Musical salutes to fellow composers like Copland and Sondheim, but also tender tributes to his wife and children, and to one of his first teachers who became his longtime secretary. This concert at the Longy School of Music is called A Private Audience, featuring Bernstein's more intimate music, a contrast to the large-scale works he's best known for. And if you'd like to see the extensive program notes for this evening, you'll find them at classicalwcrb.org. Longy has a busy season of concerts. The month of May is packed with exciting recitals by some of the amazing young Longy musicians. There's a link to a detailed list of happenings at classicalwcrb.org. I'm Alan McClellan. I'll be back with more personally reflective music by Leonard Bernstein, arias and barcaroles, after this break on WCRB in Concert.